I didn't go snooping. I shake my head, my eyes narrowing at him. A corner of his mouth rises. Because you trust me. Analogy. I enunciate every syllable. So, ask the question, Violet, he says softly, in that calm, controlled tone that makes me lift my chin. Humor me. Fine, I grit out through my teeth. Do you happen to have a battle? Shadows surge from the armoire, and I catch the glint of metal, a heartbeat before the bands of darkness hold a dagger to within inches of my chin. I gasp, then lock every muscle. What the fuck, Zayden? Am I going to hurt you? The carpet makes his boot steps nearly silent as he crosses the room, giving me plenty of time to object or retreat, but I don't. I'm going to hurt you if you don't get that away from me. I keep my eyes on him. Would I ever let this knife hurt you? His boots touch the tips of mine, and he leans into my space. Of course not. The shadows slowly take the blade closer to Zayden's throat, and I grab for the hilt, yanking it away and tossing it to the desk before he can accidentally nick himself. His smile flashes, then fades. Hey, Violence. What? I snap. There's a knife in the armoire. His hand slides to the nape of my neck, and he leans in, narrowing the world to just the two of us. All you had to do was ask. And even if you weren't aware it was coming, you know I'd never let it hurt you. I'm not the one you don't trust. I scoff. What is that supposed to mean? Love, you're the smartest person I know. If you actually wanted the answers, you'd ask the right questions. His voice softens as his thumb sweeps along my jawline. You knew about the deal. Maybe the question you need to be asking is why you didn't confront me about it. Because I love you. My voice breaks into a mortifying whisper that's almost half as embarrassing as the thoughts I can't keep from spinning in my brain. The thoughts that I've fought to hold at bay ever since my mother told me about the deal she made with him. Heat flushes my cheeks as he holds my stare, and frustration curls my hands into fists. Because I want to think you kept me alive those first few months before threshing because you were intrigued or impressed by me or attracted to me like I was to you, and not because you made a deal with my mother. Because it's horrifying to think that the only reason you fell in love with me is because of her. Because maybe you're right, and I didn't want that particular truth. Since I know there's a thin line between devotion and obsession, between cowardice and self-preservation, and I'm walking it when it comes to you. I love you so fucking much that I ignored every warning signal last year, and now half the time I don't know what side of that line I'm standing on because I'm too busy looking at you to watch my own feet. Because you don't want yourself to know where your feet are, he says softly. My mouth snaps shut. How dare he? Someone pounds on the door. Fuck off, Zayden yells over his shoulder, then sighs as if remembering the sound shield. Let's put your theory to the test. You want me to demand the truth? To ask you something real? I hold his gaze and steel my heart. Please do, he challenges. What's your second signet? His eyes widen, and the blood drains from his face as his hand falls away. For the first time, I think I've actually managed to shock Zayden Ryerson. I know you have one, I whisper as the pounding continues. You told me that Sigale was bonded to your grandfather, which makes you a direct descendant. If a dragon bonds a family member, it can strengthen a signet. But a direct descendant will either produce a second signet or madness. And you seem pretty sane to me. He inhales sharply and forces his features into a mask. I shake my head and scoff. So much for asking. I just can't figure out why Sigale was allowed to choose you, how she got away with it, how you both did. The pounding only increases. We have an emergency out here. Brennan? Both of our heads turn toward the door, and Zayden quickly moves to open it. He listens to my brother's hushed words, then looks over his shoulder at me. A horde of wyvern has been spotted flying from Pavis toward the cliffs. Zayden says something else to Brennan, then turns to me again. You ready to raise those wards? Or would you like to wait until they're actually at the gates? Fuck. An excerpt from The Journal of Warwick of Luceris, translated by Cadet Violet Sorengale. It was never our continent. From the very beginning, it was theirs, and we were simply allowed to live here. Chapter 56. Dragons, Brennan says as we skip the path that leads to the Wardstone Chamber and instead climb the one that leads to the top of the hill with the other members of the assembly, Zayden and Rhiannon, walking up behind us in the afternoon light. The wind howls as storm clouds roll in above us. Even the weather holds a sense of urgency. And if I'm wrong, if I've missed a symbol, a meaning, we'll be fighting for our lives in the next few hours. But I can feel the distinct, powerful hum of the Wardstone from here, so that must mean I have part of it right. The time Dane, Zayden, and I have put in imbuing the Wardstone has paid off. It's not creating wards on its own, of course, but it's at least holding power. The chaos inside Ryerson House bleeds onto the trail that leads to the valley as riders and flyers alike hike for the flight field, armed to the teeth with swords, battle axes, daggers, and bows. My own daggers are sheathed, all but the two I left in the cave with Solace's body. And my pack is strapped to my back. Most third and second years are headed to the outposts along the Navarian border. And then there's me. I'll be with Zayden since Taryn and Sigil can fly faster than the rest of the riot to confront the approaching horde. The last thing we want is to let them get to Erasia. If we hurry and the translation is accurate, we might get the wards working just as the horde reaches the height of the cliffs. I try not to focus on what will happen if I've translated wrong again, my heart racing in my chest as we hurry up the path. I glance over my shoulder at Zayden, his jaw clenched, eyes not quite meeting mine. Maybe he and I keep having the same fight because we never get to actually finish it. What in Malik's name could his signet be if he went that pale? Dragons, I repeat to Brennan, pulling my attention back to my brother and handing the journal over on the page I'd mistranslated originally. That line, I point with a gloved finger, it's more loosely interpreted as political power, not physical, which would be a lower placement on the symbol. Dane caught that one. The stone needs a representative of each den, which is exactly why Rhiannon is trekking up the path behind us with a stone-silent Zayden. We need Fierge. And it took reading the entire beginning to know that once a dragon fires a wardstone, their fire can't be used on any other. And reading the entire end to know they created two wardstones. But it doesn't say why they never activated this one. It's dragon fire that triggers the embedded runes, and they obviously had enough dragons, so why wouldn't they protect more of Navarre if they could? My entire body aches from today's attack, especially my head and shoulders, and I fight to lock the pain away so we can get this done. It won't matter if I'm hurting if we're dead in the next few hours. Gently, I probe the swollen knot on the back of my head and wince. Let me mend it, Brennan says, worry creasing his forehead as he looks up from the journal. We don't have time right now. Later. I shake my head and tug my hood up over my head to ward off the cold. He shoots me a disapproving look, but doesn't try to talk me out of my choice. Not only did you translate it, but you went back and did it again when most people would have quit. I'm really impressed, Violet. His mouth curves into a smile. Thanks. I can't help but smile back with a little bit of pride. Dad taught me well, and Markham picked up where he left off. Bet you disappointed the hell out of him when you stayed in the Riders' Quadrant. I'm definitely his biggest failure. Just a few more steps. But Dad's biggest success. He offers the journal back. I think he'd be proud of all of us. You should keep that. I nod at the journal as we finally reach the top. It needs to be preserved. Anytime you want it, it's yours, he promises, tucking it into his jacket for safekeeping, before heading left toward where Marb stands next to Kath, his tail flicking as Dane waits in front of him, shifting his weight impatiently. Six dragons surround the top of the chamber, standing wing to wing, and I make my way to Tarn, who stands beside Sigael, as I would expect. How is Andarna? I ask him, taking my place between his forelegs and peeking over the stone-rimmed edge into the chamber where the wardstone sits 100 feet below. She's not responding when I reach out. She's been questioned by the elders, and her actions were found justifiable, he answers. But to slay another dragon is a heavy mark upon the soul, even when in defense of yourself or your rider. That's why you only took his eye instead of killing him. I stiffen as Zayden approaches, refusing to look his way as he moves into position with Sigael.
I should have ended him then. I will not hesitate when faced with a similar predicament in the future. She now suffers with a burden that should have been mine.
I'm proud of her.
As am I.
Rhiannon stands with Fierge, and Suri does the same with her brown club tail.
Let's get this done.
Suri shoots a glare my way, obviously still angry that I've hidden my discovery for the past week. I'm definitely not winning any points in the trust department. All six of us exchange glances and quick nods.
It is time,
Tarn says. The dragons inhale as one, and then exhale fire into the chamber in six separate streams, instantly warming the air around us. This is exactly why they built it open to the sky, not as some kind of worship to the stars, but because the dragons needed access for this. I look away, turning my head to the side when the heat triggers my hypersensitive skin, still stinging from Solace's assault. A heartbeat later, a pulse of magic vibrates through me in a wave, dredging my power to the surface with a feeling slightly softer than the one that had rippled out at the emergence of Aracia's first hatchling. The fire ceases, and the blazing heat dissipates into the winter air, leaving us all staring at the stone, at our dragons, at one another. That leveled, anchored sensation I've only felt within the wards at Besgaeth has returned, and the wild, unleashed magic that's crawled under my skin since leaving Navarre seems to sit back, not weaker, but infinitely more tame. I lean over the edge to look, but the stone looks exactly the same as it did before. Maybe the fire is more symbolic? I glance over at Dane. And he smiles wider than I've seen in years, nodding to me. My quick grin mirrors his, and my chest swells with excitement. We did it. All the long nights and the cold days spent imbuing, all the squabbles over translation, and even my initial failure are worth it for this moment.
Is that it? Brennan asks, looking across the chamber's opening at me.
We don't exactly have time to test it. Zayden points upward,
where the drifts have already taken to the sky, then locks his gaze with mine.
Let's fly.
Tarn has never flown faster, leaving Sigael and Zayden behind as he surges for the cliffs with the best vantage point for spotting Wyvern, the edge of the high plains, usually a 2-hour flight for Tarn, but this evening we make it a few minutes under that mark.
They're 15 minutes behind us.
He tells me as he sails over miles and miles of agricultural fields, gradually descending until we land 50 yards from the edge of the cliffs.
Use it to center yourself.
Don't tell me you're taking Zayden's side of this argument. I unbuckle from the saddle and wince as I climb out of my seat.
I need to stretch my legs.
I don't take the lieutenant anywhere, he chuffs, as if I have nothing better to do than listen to your romantic issues.
Sorry, didn't mean to jump to conclusions. I navigate his spikes, and he dips his shoulder.
Though I do take offense at your insult,
he notes as I slide down his leg.
Insult?
My knee protests when my boots collide with the frozen ground,
but the wrap holds tight.
You doubt your judgment, as if I did not choose you for it.
But you weren't listening. Right. Rolling my shoulders, I walk toward the edge of the cliff and summon just enough of my power that my skin warms, even though my breath puffs out in clouds of steam. There's a hum here, too, and I instinctively know that this is where the wards end, 20 feet short of the cliff's edge. This point is a 4-hour flight from Aracia for average dragons, if such a creature exists. Would this be the natural border of Besgaeth's wards if they weren't extended by the outposts? That distance would leave Elsom, Tirindor, and even most of Kaldir unwarded. Gods, we're not even shielding most of Tirindor if this is the Wardstone's natural range. What's the news? I ask Tarn.
The nearest riot of 3 is 20 miles to the north, and the same to the south.
No sightings? We don't have the strength Zayden wants in each unit tonight, but we can cover more of the border in groups of 3, or in our case, 2. Deploying in smaller but closely spaced units gives the stronger dragons a better chance at communicating as well. Every bonded pair has been recalled from the lines across Poromiel to defend the cliffs, but there's no hope of those stationed in Cordon or beyond at the border with the Breivik province making it back in time.
Not from the cliffs.
But beyond? I look out across the darkening landscape, searching for any sign of gray wings.
I'd estimate we have a 1/4 hour.
He huffs a hot breath of steam that billows past me.
Prepare yourself. Sigael approaches.
Do you think he's right? I ask, folding my arms across my chest as wing beats break the relative silence of the night.
I know he thinks he is.
That's helpful. Sigael lands close to Tarn, and I breathe in my last moments of peace and prepare myself for the battle to come before the actual war reaches us. It isn't long before I hear his familiar footsteps coming my way. No sightings on this side of the cliff, I tell him as he reaches my side, keeping my shields firmly in place. Tarn thinks we have 15 minutes.
There's no one else out here.
His words are clipped. Right, we're the only pair. I shift my weight, energy tingling in my fingers, slowly filling my cells, saturating me in preparation instead of drowning me as usual. I know that goes against your full riot.
That's not what I mean.
He shoves his gloves into his pockets, leaving his hands bare and ready to wield, the perfect picture of composure and control.
There's no one within miles to hear us.
My eyebrows shoot up, and I turn toward him in sheer incredulity. I'm sorry. Are you suggesting that the reason you didn't answer my question back in Aracia was because you don't trust your own sound shield on our room?
There is always someone better at something than you, including wards.
He winces.
And maybe that wasn't the entire reason.
Spare me from whatever bullshit you're about to impart. My stomach twists, and I lower my voice into my best Zayden impression. Ask me, I shake my head. Yet the first real question I pose, you duck out the door like a coward.
It never occurred to me that you'd ask about a second signet, he argues.
Liar! I whip my gaze forward, studying the sky for movement and fighting the scalding anger that tests the archive's doors of my power. You wouldn't have told me that Sigael bonded your grandfather if you never wanted me to know. Whether it was a conscious or unconscious choice, you made it. You knew I'd figure it out. Was it just another one of your ask me tests? Because if so, you failed this one, not me. Don't you think I know that? He shouts, the words coming out strangled, like they had to be ripped from his throat. The admission earns him my full attention, but his outburst is quickly smothered by his self-control, and we fall into strained silence as he stares off into the distance.
Sometimes I feel like I don't know you.
I studied the harsh lines of his face as his jaw flexes. How am I supposed to really love you if I don't know you?
I can't, and I think we both know it.
How long do you think it takes for someone to fall out of love? He studies the skyline. A day? A month? I'm asking because I don't have any experience with it. What the fuck? I fold my arms to keep from giving in to the impulse to jab him with the sharp point of my elbow. I'm asking, he continues, his throat working as he swallows. Because I think it will take you all of a heartbeat, once you know. Apprehension slides up my spine and knots in my throat as I slightly lower my shields just enough to feel ice-cold terror along my bond with him. What the hell could his signet be that I wouldn't love him? Oh, shit. What if he's like Kat? What if he's been manipulating my emotions this whole time? I swallow back the bile, inching its way up my throat. I would never do something like that, he retorts, sending a sideways, wounded glare at me as he continues to watch the sky. Shit. I rub my hands over my face. I didn't mean to say that out loud. He doesn't respond. Just tell me what it is. I reach for him, curling my fingers around the back of his arm. You said that you trust me to stay because even if I don't know your darkest deeds, I know what you're capable of. But I don't if you won't tell me. Somehow we're right back where we were months ago, neither of us fully trusting the other. His mouth opens, but he snaps it shut, as if he was going to talk, then thought better of it. Signets have to do with who we are at our core and what we need, I think out loud. If he won't tell me, then I'll figure it out my damn self. You are a master of secrets, hence the shadows. I gesture at the ones curled around his feet. You're deadly with every weapon you pick up, but that's not a signet. My brow furrows. Stop. You're ruthless, which I guess could have something to do with an ability to shut off your emotions. I shift my weight and study his face, watching for even the most minute sign that I'm onto something, and keep guessing, trusting Taryn to spot the wyvern before we do. You're a natural leader. Everyone gravitates toward you, even against their better judgment. The last part comes out as a mutter. You're always in the right place. My eyebrows rise. Are you a distance wielder? I've only read about two riders in all of history who could cross hundreds of miles in a single step. There hasn't been a distance wielder in centuries, and don't you think if I was one, I would have spent every night in your bed? He shakes his head. But what do you need? I ponder, ignoring the tense set of his jaw. You need to question everyone to make your own impressions. You need to be a quick judge of character in order to know who to trust and who not to in order to have those smuggling missions at Bazgaiath for years. More than anything, you need control. It's woven into every aspect of your personality. Stop, he demands. I ignore the warning completely, just like I ignored Mira's warning last year to stay away from him. You need to fix. Never mind, if you could mend, you wouldn't have brought me to Erasia. Let's try eliminating signets instead. You can't see the future, or you never would have led us to Athbeen. You can't wield any element, or you would have done so in Resin. I pause as a thought pushes past the others. Who knows? Stop before you go somewhere we can't come back from. Shadows move across the inches that separate us, winding up my calves as if he thinks he's going to have to fight to keep me at his side. Who knows? I repeat, my voice rising with my temper. Not that it matters, there's no one else for miles, and there are no sound seekers in Erasia capable of hearing across miles of distance like Captain Greeley and General Melgren's personal unit. Hence, why our communication times lag. Do the Marked Ones know? Does the Assembly? Am I the only person close to you who doesn't know, just like last year? My hand falls away from his arm. It's impossible to have a signet that no one has detected, no one has trained. Has he played me for a fool again? The space between my ribs and my heart shrivels and shrinks, my chest threatening to crumple. For fuck's sake, Violet, no one else knows. He turns toward me in a move so fast it would intimidate someone else, but I know he's incapable of hurting me, at least physically. So I merely tilt my chin and stare up into those gold-flecked eyes in blatant challenge.
I deserve better than this. Tell me the truth.
You've always deserved better than me. And no one knows, he repeats, his voice dropping. Because if they did, I'd be dead.
Why would...
My lips part, and my pulse jumps as my head starts to swim. He has to have full control. He has to make snap character judgments. He has to intrinsically know who to trust and who not to. In order for the movement to have been as successful as it was within the walls of Bezgaev, he has to know everything. Zayden's most pressing need is information.
Tarn shifts, angling his body towards Sigale instead of beside her.
Oh, gods. There's only one signet riders are killed for having. Fear churns in my stomach and threatens to bring up what little I've had to eat today.
Yes.
He nods, his gaze boring into mine. Shit. Did he just...
No. I shake my head and take a step backward out of his shadows, but he moves as if he takes the step with me.
Yes. It's how I knew I could trust you not to tell anyone about the meeting under the tree last year,
he says as I retreat another step. How I seem to know what my opponent has planned on the mat before their next move. How I know exactly what someone needs to hear in order to get them to do what I need done. And how I knew if someone remotely suspected us while we were at Bezgaev.
I shake my head in denial, wishing I'd stopped pushing like he'd demanded me to.
He crosses the space between us. It's why I didn't kill Dane in the interrogation chamber, why I let him come with us, because the second his shields wavered, I knew he'd had a true epiphany. How would I know that, Violet?
He'd read Dane's mind. Zayden is more dangerous than I ever imagined.
You're an intrinsic, I whisper. Even the accusation is a death sentence among riders.
I'm a type of intrinsic,
he repeats slowly, like it's the first time he's ever said the words.
I can read intentions. Maybe I would know what to call it if they didn't kill everyone with even a hint of the signet.
My eyebrows jolt upward. Can you read thoughts or not?
His jaw flexes.
It's more complicated than that. Think of that breath of a second before the actual thought, the subconscious motivation you might not even be aware of in your mind, or when instinct drives you to move or you're looking to betray someone. The intention is always there. Mostly they come across as pictures. But some people intend in really clear pictures.
Tarn growls low in his throat and lowers his head at Sigale as a rush of something bitter and sick floods our bond.
Betrayal.
I slam my shields up, blocking him out before I'm lost to his emotions, already struggling with mine.
He didn't know.
Another rumble of anger vibrates his chest scales, and my heart lurches with pangs of sympathy.
Sigale draws back in retreat, shocking me to the core, but holds her head high, exposing her throat to her mate. The same way Zayden just metaphorically exposed his to me. All I have to do is tell someone, anyone, and he's dead. A soft roaring fills my ears.
There are some secrets even mates can't share,
Zayden says, his eyes locked on mine, but his words are meant for Tarn.
Some secrets that can't be spoken of, even behind the protection of wards.
And yet you know everyone's secrets, don't you? Everyone's intentions.
That's why intrinsics aren't allowed to live. The implications of his signet hit me with the force of a battering ram, and I stagger backward like the blow is a physical one. How many times has he read me? How many pre-thoughts has he eavesdropped on? Do I actually love him, or did he just say what I wanted to hear? Do the things I needed in order to...
Less than a minute,
Zayden whispers as Sigale moves toward him, toward us.
That's how long it took for you to fall out of love with me.
My gaze flashes to his.
Don't read my... whatever!
Taren stalks toward me, his head low and his teeth bared as he places himself at my back.
I didn't.
The saddest smile I've ever seen tugs at Zayden's mouth.
First,
because your shields are up. And secondly, because I didn't have to. It's all over your face. My heart struggles to beat regularly, torn between slowing and sluggishly admitting defeat, and rising to fight in defense of the simple yet agonizing truth that I love him anyway. But how many more blows can that love take? How many more daggers are there in that metaphorical armoire? Gods, I don't know what to think. Nausea washes over me. Has he ever used it on me?
Say something,
he begs, fear streaking through his eyes. The roaring grows louder, the sound like 1,000 soft drops of rain on a roof. My love isn't fickle. I shake my head slowly, keeping my gaze locked on his.
So you'd better live, because I'm ready to ask you all the fucking questions. Silver One, mount!
Taren bellows, demolishing the barrier of my shields like they're thinner than parchment.
Wyvern!
Zayden and I both spare a single glance to the edge of the cliffs. My stomach drops as I realize that the approaching gray cloud isn't a storm, and the roaring in my ears is actually wingbeats. One heartbeat. That's all I wait. And then I'm turning, moving, sprinting across the frozen ground and racing up the ramp Taren makes of his foreleg to his shoulder. How many? I lower my flight goggles and blast the question down the mental pathway that connects the four of us as I climb into my saddle.
Hundreds,
Sigale answers. That's unfortunate. I force air through my lungs in measured breaths to keep calm, but my hand still trembles as I buckle the belt across my lap. The second I'm secure, Taren swings his body parallel to the cliffs and launches, throwing my weight back into my seat as he climbs rapidly with heavy, forceful wing beats. When we have enough altitude for air superiority, Taren banks left, flying in a tight circle until we face the flying horde. Then he pushes his wings back against the wind, abruptly halting our momentum and sending my body forward into the pommel as he hovers 100 feet above the frozen field, leaving twice his body length between us and the cliff's edge. A little warning next time, I use our private bond.
Did you fall?
He challenges along the same, his wings rising and falling only often enough to keep us relatively in place. I decide to keep my retort to myself as Zayden and Sigale arrive on our right, keeping a noticeable distance from the edge of Taren's wing.
I'm sorry she didn't tell you. We will settle matters of emotion after matters of life.
Noted. My stomach twists when I can make out individual shapes in the horde. Then outright sours as evening sky appears between their wing beats.
30 seconds,
Taren estimates. I release the pommel and turn my palms up, opening the archive's door to Taren's power and letting it fill every cell in my body until the hum of energy I pick up on at the edge of the wards is replaced by the hum of energy that I've become.
They're slowing, Zayden remarks as the horde spreads into a grouping I'm terrified to acknowledge looks like a formation.
Bile rises in my throat as I count 1, 2, 3, 4. I count at least 12 Venin.
17,
Taren corrects in a growl. 17 Dark Wielders and a horde that rivals the riot at Erasia against us. We're dead if the words aren't up, if I messed up the translation.
You didn't,
Zayden replies, sounding infinitely more confident than I feel. Heat flushes my skin as my power seeks an outlet, but I keep it contained, ready to be wielded as 3 wyvern break away from the grouping and fly closer. They hover a tail's length beyond the edge of the cliffs, their scales dull and gray, holes peppered through their wings as though they hadn't quite finished forming. They can feel the wards, I managed to say before my stomach abandons my body, plummeting like a rock. The rider on the center wyvern.
Then they can die in them too,
Sigale replies. I can only make out vague facial features from this distance, but I know in my very bones it's him. the sage from Resson, the one who's taken up residence in my nightmares. His head turns noticeably from me to Zayden. He was in Resson, I tell him.
I know.
White-hot rage shimmers along the bond. The sage lifts his staff, then swings it like a club, pointing toward us.
I love you,
Zayden says as the wyvern closest to me banks away from the wards, falling into a turning dive, only to gain speed and climb again, leveling out behind the lead two, before flying straight for us.
Even if you believe nothing else I ever say, please believe that. Do not speak to her as if death is a possibility,
Taren snaps, slamming his own shields around us both, an impenetrable wall of black stone blocking out Zayden and Sigale.
I breathe deeply, using every ounce of concentration to keep my power contained and my emotions under control as the wyvern accumulates speed and flies past the lead too,
heading for the wards.
Time slows to heartbeats, my breath freezing in my heated chest.
Then, the wyvern crosses the invisible barrier, and my heart stops beating altogether as its wings flap once, twice.
Prepare to dive.
Taren swivels his head, his jaw opening as the wyvern closes the distance to less than a body length, and I brace for the maneuver.
Never mind.
The wyvern's wings and head sag, and its body follows suit, as though someone plucked out its life force, and then it falls, propelled only by its previous momentum, passing 40 feet beneath us and crashing into the field below, leaving a deep furrow before stopping.
We should check. Its heartbeat ceased,
Taren tells me, his attention already redirected to the other two wyvern along the border and the horde behind them.
The wards work.
The wards work. Relief restarts my heart. The sage swings his staff again and lets out a furious shout, sending the wyvern on the right, who meets the same fate a few seconds later, impacting a short distance from the first one. Taren doesn't look when Sigale dives for the carcasses, but he does lower his shields.
They're dead,
Zayden confirms a moment later, and I glance down to see Felix arriving on his red sword tail.
We're safe. I throw out my hands and release the searing energy within me, letting it snap free as I wield.
Lightning cracks open the sky, striking a few feet from the remaining wyvern, and I curse under my breath.
Close, but I didn't hit him.
It's enough for the sage to call off the attack, and though I can't see his eyes from here, I feel the hatred of his stare locking onto me as he looks back before joining the rest of the horde.
That's it?
I ask Taren as he holds position, watching the wyvern become a cloud of gray once again.
How anticlimactic.
Now what?
Now we stay long enough to be sure. And then we go home.
We wait another 3 hours before flying back, long enough for Suri to arrive and tell us of three similar incidents along the cliffs. We weren't the lucky recipients of a lone horde. It was a coordinated, simultaneous attack. But we survived. The joyous atmosphere is contagious when we walk into Ryerson House a few hours later, accompanied by Felix, and I'm promptly pulled into Rhiannon's hug.
You got the wards up!
Her flight leathers are still cold from the night air, meaning she's just returned too.
We got the wards up, I counter, before I'm yanked out of her arms and smushed against Riddick's chest, then Sawyer's, as riders and flyers celebrate around us, the noise filling the cavernous space of Ryerson House's foyer, and somehow making the area feel smaller in the best way, less like a fortress and more like a home.
We're needed in the assembly chamber right now, Zayden says, leaning past Sloane and raising his voice to be heard over the cacophony. Our eyes lock and I nod, keeping my shields firmly in place to block him out, which feels not only unnatural, but wrong. How ironic to celebrate a monumental victory and still feel like I've lost something precious. There hasn't been a second alone to discuss the fact that if my shields were down, he'd already know how fucked up my head is about the signet he's hidden. I can't imagine walking away from this, from us. But that doesn't mean that we don't have some serious issues we need to discuss.
nor that I'm not pissed as hell that he's given me another reason to doubt my own ability to trust my own judgment. And just because I can't imagine walking away doesn't mean I won't do it if we can't find some healthy ground. I'm quickly learning it's possible to love someone and not want to be with them at the same time. The second we walk into the assembly chamber and a guard shuts the door behind us, the noise outside falls away and 8 pairs of eyes turn in our direction. None of them appear as happy as they should be, given what we've just accomplished. Serena and Mira break away from the assembly and walk toward us as Felix calls Zayden over from the dais with an urgent tone.
We need to find time to talk, Zayden says quickly and quietly. And I know he only says it out loud because I won't let him into my mind.
Later, I agree just to end the conversation before Mira and Serena hear us. There isn't enough time in the world to process what he's told me. He walks away as they approach, and I peel my gaze from his back to give my attention to my sister. The tension in her face has power rising within me swiftly, my body preparing for battle. What's wrong?
As soon as the attack was over, a missive was delivered to Ulysses, she tells me.
He was at the Teria outpost, on the border with Navarre, I finish for her, anxious to get to the heart of the matter.
Melgrin has asked us to meet with him tomorrow. He requested whomever represents our movement. No more than 2 marked ones allowed, along with Violet and Mira Sorengale.
She reaches for my hand and squeezes gently.
You can say no. You should say no.
Why would the commanding general of all Navarrian forces ask for a cadet and a lieutenant?
My voice trails off, and I glance over to the dais where Brennan is locked in a quiet, heated discussion with the other 6.
Our mother will be there. And if a fight breaks out, we know it ends in his favor. Otherwise, he would never summon us. He's already seen the outcome.
I stick that predicament on the growing list of things I'll have to deal with. There's something else you need to know, Serena says, drawing a dagger and placing it on her outstretched palm. With a flick of the flyer's wrist, the dagger rises a few inches, then spins when she twirls her index finger. It's a simple lesser magic, something I learned last year.
You can still wield. My heart sinks at the wider implications, and my shoulders sag.
She nods solemnly.
As glad as I am to not be stripped of my power, I'm sorry to say there's something wrong with your wards.
Fuck.
An excerpt from Navarre. An Unedited History by Colonel Lewis Markham. The day Augustin Melgrin manifested his signet changed warfare for the Kingdom of Navarre forever. Chapter 57. The irony of meeting at Athbean is not lost on me, nor is the fact that this is the second time I'm visiting the outpost on the edge of the Esben mountain range after finding out Zayden Ryerson has hidden pertinent information from me. I spent last night in the library, which was probably in the best interest of everyone as I continue to muddle through my thoughts, intentions,
what the fuck ever.
Today, I'm bleary-eyed and restless, with more questions than answers. But as I glance over at Zayden, landing on Sigale's back, his face tense and drawn, I can recognize that telling me whether or not he wanted to was the ultimate gesture of trust. And this time, I'm not the last to know, I'm the first. Maybe it makes me completely, utterly foolish, but somehow that makes a difference, even if I haven't had the opportunity to tell him that, or the opportunity to interrogate his ass about how many of my intentions he's read. I'm just not sure how many this times I have in me, no matter how much I love him. Our riot of 10 lands in the clearing over the ridgeline from the outpost at noon, a full hour before we're due to meet. and four of the dragons back into the cover of the forest immediately, hiding in the shelter of the enormous evergreen trees that surround the field. The other six stand wing to wing, ready to launch at a moment's notice.
You're sure they won't be able to tell they're here?
I ask Tarn, putting my flight goggles into my pack before sliding down Tarn's foreleg. Landing on the frozen ground makes me wince. I'd woken up this morning with a 100-year-old text stuck to my cheek and a throbbing ache in my neck.
Not exactly, but there's no snow at this elevation to carry tracks. Dragons only sense each other mind to mind when we allow it. As long as they stay downwind, the others will know they're here, but won't be able to identify how many or who has come.
That's not exactly comforting, especially given who insisted on traveling with us. I stretch my arms up at the sun and roll my neck carefully to ease the stiffness in my muscles. After fighting Solas yesterday and accidentally sleeping on a table in the library last night, my body has had it with me, and I can't blame it.
You are not a child in need of comfort.
True, which only serves to remind me of the enraged adolescent I have waiting for me at home in Erasia. After telling her there would be no logical way to explain her presence, even if Tarn carried her, which she was adamantly opposed to, and Darna cursed Tarn's entire family line, then blocked us both and went to practice with the elders. Tarn's only response had been a muttered expletive about the moods of adolescence. It doesn't escape my notice that Sigael stands between Tiny and Fawn, Ulysses' cantankerous green swordtail, not next to Tarn, which either explains or is a result of his surly mood this morning. Mom and Dad are fighting, and everyone knows it. Zayden crosses in front of Fan, completely unbothered by her snort of insult at his proximity, and peels off his gloves as he approaches me.
You didn't come to bed last night.
His brow furrows as he makes a quick study of my face, then shoves the gloves into his pocket, and I mirror his emotions just in case we'll need to wield. Then I reinforce my shields. I was in the library with Dane poring over Warwick's journal to see what I got wrong. We both fell asleep on one of the tables until Jacinia and a few others joined us for more study. I meet his gaze, then look away before I start pelting him with questions or do something even more foolish, like forgive him before getting answers.
I thought Jacinia didn't speak old Lucerish.
He barely glances at the riders who walk by and gather in front of Fan. We've brought three from Mira's unit in addition to members of the assembly. She doesn't, but Sawyer Smitten and the others were determined to help in any way they could. Even Kat, Marin, and Traeger had joined in a show of support.
Did you find anything?
The dragons raised their heads at a sound coming from the other side of the clearing, and the way they quickly lower them tells me everything I need to know. Early or not, this meeting is about to start.
No, I answer, keeping my eyes on the trees and fighting the apprehension trying to knot in my throat.
The breath of life of the six and the one combined, and set the stone ablaze in an iron flame.
What did I miss?
If I had, you'd know it.
Would I?
His tone tightens.
You would.
My gaze jumps to lock with his. I appreciate you not trying to talk me out of coming.
I learned my lesson at Cordon.
He searches my face but doesn't reach for me.
Let me in.
If only for a second, please. Let me in.
My chest tightens with every heartbeat as I hold his gaze. Exactly how much of this is mine to forgive? It's his secret. But I can't help wondering how much he's read into my own intentions. That's the part that has me hesitant, no matter how much I love him.
Violet.
It's the blatant plea in his tone that has me lowering my shields, just enough to feel our bond connect. And the resulting relief on his face is palpable.
If you decide to tell them what I am as punishment for the crimes I've committed against you, I'll understand.
You want to discuss this now, of all times? I lift my eyebrows at him.
I wanted to discuss this last night, but apparently you were busy working to save Tirindor.
His attention shifts to the trees, and Taren's shadow races across the brittle prairie grass, winding around us.
Are you complaining? Our hands brush as we both turn to face whomever is coming through those trees.
About you choosing the safety of my home over fighting with me? He scowls but laces his fingers with mine.
No,
but Mira approaches from behind Zayden, her stride confident, though two lines of worry are etched between her brows. I squeeze his hand, then let go.
I need to know something.
I run my hands down my hips, counting the blades sheathed there, all six of them.
Did you ever use your signet to glean information to influence my feelings in any way?
Never.
He shakes his head, but his hands clench at his sides and the muscle in his jaw pops.
But I have always lacked a certain element of self-control when it comes to you, and our bond makes it way too easy for you to send your intentions without even realizing it.
Death would be preferable to the embarrassment that accompanies that revelation.
I could torch him if you would like,
Taren offers, but you do seem attached.
Heat flushes up my neck and stings my cheeks, reminding me of the times my scalp would prickle in his presence.
You knew I wanted to kiss you that night by the wall.
Gods, I can't even finish the question. The tops of the trees begin to sway. They've brought dragons.
Yes, he glances at me, and you have my most sincere apology. Had I known what we would become, he shakes his head.
Fuck, I probably still would have done it.
Do you still do it?
I have to know. No.
I stopped the moment you were more to me than the general's daughter, the moment I realized the harm Dane had done. And that I was no better than he was.
Except Zayden hadn't brokered the information he'd stolen and been responsible for killing Liam and Soleil.
Yet, I've made some kind of peace with Dane, haven't I?
Maybe I'm becoming complacent with betrayal because it's fucking everywhere.
I'm not going to turn you in, I say quickly, looking up at him as Mira comes within hearing distance.
But we'll be fighting about this later. I lift my brows. The muscle in his jaw ticks like he wants to say more, but he only adds,
I will make myself available to you.
You ready for this? Mira asks, crossing in front of Zayden to stand beside me. No, I reply to Mira. Are you?
No.
She rests her hand on the pommel of the short sword sheathed at her hip. But she'll never know that. I want to be you when I grow up. A smile tugs at my lips despite the anxiety quickening my breaths. You'll be better than me, she counters, then looks over the top of my head to talk to Zayden. By the way, you couldn't convince him to stay in Aracia?
I don't wield emotions, and members of the assembly don't take well to being tied down and restrained.
He reaches back over his shoulder and draws one of the swords strapped to his back with his left hand, leaving his right free to wield. If you're looking to influence mind work, find a flyer. I barely keep myself from jabbing him in his clever semantics, because the man clearly specializes in mind work.
Here we go, Mira mutters as seven figures dressed in black step into the clearing.
I palm a dagger in my right hand and crack open the door to the archives, letting power trickle into me. Melgrin walks at the center, his beady eyes shifting down our line of Aracian riders. I don't need Cat's gift to heighten his anger. He wears rage like it's part of his uniform. I force myself to glance at the other members of their chosen party, only recognizing three, two of whom were Mom's aides at one point or another.
Colonel Fremont, second on the left, is a very powerful air wielder, I tell Zayden. He can suck the air straight out of your lungs.
Thank you.
Shadows rise in front of the three of us, curling in blade-like fingers at the level of our knees. Then, My gaze falls on Mom. She walks at Melgren's side, cutting through the field with quick, efficient steps, her attention split between Mira and me. The closer she comes, the more apparent her exhaustion. Deep bruises mark the space under her eyes, contrasting with her paler-than-normal complexion, even though the lines from her flight goggles indicate she's spending time in the sky. Mira tilts her chin and smooths her expression into a mask I envy and do the best to emulate. The dragons follow, led out of the forest by Melgren's dragon, Coda. The utter nightmare of a black dragon immediately lowers his head as he stalks forward, and his golden eyes narrow at me. No, at Tarn, standing behind me. Fuck, I'd almost forgotten just how big he is, easily 5 feet taller than Tarn, numerous battle scars marking his chest scales and wings. Mom's dragon, Imser, follows, prowling toward us at the same time the other five make their appearance, an orange, two reds, and a blue. Tarn steps forward and lifts his head to hover over mine, a menacing rumble working its way up his throat. Don't drool on me, I joke, but it falls flat. The Navarian riders walk to the center of the field, and when Ulysses moves, so do we, leaving 10 feet of empty field between our lines. Swords and daggers gleam within easy reach on both sides.
And here I was thinking you were dead, Ulysses, Melgren starts, forcing a smile that's mostly bared teeth. And here I was hoping you were, Ulysses counters, using his height to look down his nose at Melgren. No such luck, Melgren replies. What happened to meeting at the outpost? He gestures back toward the trees. We have refreshments waiting if you'd care to— Probably poisoned, Tarn adds, but he sounds slightly distracted, as if holding more than one conversation at once, probably because he is. We don't, Zayden interrupts. Speak your piece, Melgren. Melgren's gaze jumps to Zayden. We never should have let you into the quadrant. Regrets are truly a bitch, aren't they? Zayden cocks his head. Let's get to it. You may have nothing better to do with your day, but we're busy fighting for our continent. Nothing better, Melgren snaps, his face blotching. Do you know the destruction you caused by dropping those wyvern on the outposts? The lengths we went in order to keep it quiet? The civilians we had to— He stops himself, breathing deeply and straightening his shoulders. You almost tore down centuries of work, of tightly woven defensive strategy designed to protect the people within our borders. But only the people within your borders, Mira accuses. Fuck everyone else, right? Mom's eyes flash with barely leashed reprimand. Yes, Melgren turns that unnerving stare on my sister. When you abandon ship in the middle of a hurricane, you save those you can in the dinghy, then cut the hands off anyone else who tries to climb aboard so they don't pull you under. You're a callous asshole, she fires back.
Thank you.
Are we here for a reason? Zayden asks. You know, besides the evil villain lecture.
Sunlight glints off the blade of his sword as he shifts his grip.
We let you go, Melgren answers, glancing between Ulysses and Zayden. Let you take half the Riders' Quadrant cadets without so much as a fight. Let her go.
His withering gaze slides over mine, and I lock my muscles to keep from shuddering.
After she brutally murdered the Vice Commandant. Ever stop to think about why?
My stomach clenches.
I personally try not to think about you.
Zayden replies, outright lying, but damn does he pull it off.
You can't afford to lose the riders necessary to fight us,
Ulysses answers. We're too expensive to keep, especially with the number of riders and the riot who chose to leave you.
Perhaps, Melgren tilts his head. Or perhaps I let you.
My grip tightens on my dagger.
Perhaps. The general draws out the word. I knew we'd need you for a coming battle.
Highly unlikely. Who would they possibly be fighting behind the wards?
I'll meet Malak before I fight for Navarre again,
Ulysses snarls.
You were always too quick to make important decisions, Melgren says with a sigh, patting his chest. That's why I didn't mourn your loss.
Damn, that was harsh.
This meeting is over, Ulysses starts, red rising up his neck and splashing onto his cheeks. They're going to overrun us at Samara, Melgren interrupts.
Everyone quiets. I struggle to draw my next breath. Surely he didn't mean to say that. I look at Mom and my knees weaken at the subtle nod she gives me. Even Mira tenses.
I've seen it, Melgren continues. They come for us on solstice, and they win.
Shit. He said exactly what he meant. A chill races up my spine as the blood drains from my face. If Samara falls, if any of the outposts do, Wyvern would have unfettered access to parts of Navarre the ward extensions have protected for the last 600 years. Without the outposts, Vasgaeth's wards would rebound to their natural limits, only a few hours' flight reaching nowhere near the border.
How?
Ulysses challenges, and the riders from Mira's unit exchange disbelieving looks.
Do me a favor, I say to Zayden. Forget feeling guilty about reading my intentions, and please read theirs.
Everyone but the Major on the right is shielded, but she's scared shitless and intends to do whatever she needs to get us to agree. He answers, shifting so his hand brushes the back of mine. Oh, and she wants to eat after this meeting and argue with your mother over her supposed affection for her daughters. Now put your shields up and block me and everyone else out. Holy shit. No wonder intrinsics aren't allowed to live. Zayden is both a jaw-dropping weapon and a frightening liability. I do as he suggests, only leaving space for Taryn and the opaque, glimmering bond I feel with Andarna, even at this distance.
How isn't how it works? Melgren folds his arms across his chest, and Coda bares his dripping teeth. All that matters is that we lose on solstice.
They lose. If the wards are breached, there's no way to estimate the death toll. Every Navarrian civilian between the border and the wardstone's natural limitations will be in mortal danger.
Silver One?
I'm fine. But I'm not.
If you've already seen the outcome, then what the hell do you expect us to do about it?
Ulysses challenges, lifting his hands as he shrugs. My head turns in his direction, but I bite my tongue before I can reply that he obviously expects us to help.
Change the outcome by fighting at our side.
Melgren frowns like he's being forced to swallow rotten fruit.
In the battle I see, none of you are there.
He glances at Zayden.
And we're not going to be there.
Ulysses shakes his head.
We don't fly for you.
No, we fly for... Wait, who do we fly for? Not just Aracia or even Tirindor. And if we're willing to fight to defend the civilians of Poromiel, why wouldn't we fight to defend Navarians too?
No, but you do fly for the Empyrean,
Mom interjects.
Dragonkind won't stand aside if the hatching grounds in the Vale are compromised.
Your mother is presumptuous to speak on behalf of Dragonkind, Taryn mutters.
If the hatching grounds are compromised, losing one outpost won't take down the entire system, and half your riot left with us,
I remind her.
And you're proud of that? What you caused may very well be the reason we lose this battle.
The box-framed captain beside Mom snarls, lifting his short sword in my direction. I flip my dagger, pinching the tip in readiness to throw, but shadows jolt forward, knocking the sword from the captain's hand and putting him on his ass. Zayden clicks his tongue and wiggles his pointer finger. No, no.
I'd hate to lose the spirit of civility, wouldn't you? We were all getting along so nicely.
God's damn traitor,
the captain spits out, fumbling for his sword before finding his feet.
Malik will meet you for your crimes.
Mom sheathes a dagger I never saw her draw, her focus flicking between the captain and Zayden.
Tried that. He didn't want me, or any of us, remember?
Zayden scratches his relic with his empty hand.
Enough, Melgren shouts. I don't expect you to ally yourself with us for nothing. Fight for us at Samara, and I have it on King Tari's word that we will respect the independence of your riot and the city you've taken refuge in.
The breath freezes in my lungs. Does he know about Aresha?
I can't tell. We will not conscript your citizens for our army, nor will we drag your people into a border war you have no chance of winning,
Melgren shrugs.
If you truly thought that, you would have invaded the second we left.
Mira sounds like she's bored.
Unless you saw the battles didn't go your way. This is the only offer.
Melgren ignores Mira, focusing on Ulysses.
If you are not our allies, then you are our enemies.
Allies. That's the logical answer.
I think we'll sit this one out,
Ulysses says dismissively, as though he's rejecting an offer of tea.
A kingdom who never comes to the aid of others doesn't deserve aid in their time of need. Personally, I think you all deserve whatever the Dark Wielders do to you.
I blink, everything in my body rebelling at the sentiment that civilians deserve to die because their leadership failed them, no matter who that leadership is.
And you speak for your rebellion?
Melgren's attention slides to Zayden.
Or does the heir apparent?
Zayden doesn't rise to the bait, nor does he argue against Ulysses' statement. But he's going to, right? The color drains from Mom's face as she looks between Mira and me, past us, and for the first time in my life, I see her wobble like someone has knocked her off her center. Footsteps sound behind me, but I can't tear my gaze away from the emotions crossing Mom's face in rapid succession long enough to look to see who it is, and honestly, I don't need to.
We rule by committee,
Brennan announces, his arm brushing mine as he stops between Mira and me.
And I think I'm safe in speaking for the quorum when I say that we do not defend kingdoms who sacrifice neighboring civilians.
His head turns toward Mom, and her eyes bulge.
Let alone their own children, so they can hide safely behind their wards. You will not escape the suffering you force the rest of the continent to endure.
Brennan, Mom whispers, and the urge to cross the line and hold her upright is almost too strong to fight.
For fuck's sake, Brennan, Mira whispers. When all three of your children stand against you, perhaps the time has come for self-reflection. This meeting is officially over, Brennan states, his gaze locked on our mother. Your hatching grounds are not in danger, and our riot has their own to protect now.
He places his hand over his heart.
I mean this with every fiber of my body. We deny your offer of peace and happily accept war, since it sounds like you won't survive another 2 weeks to fight it.
He pivots and walks away, leaving our mother to stare slack-jawed at his retreating back. Is that all there is to it? With Suri and Kylan in the woods behind us, the assembly truly has a quorum, but Zayden hasn't spoken.
Right, Zayden nods, tension straining the muscles of his neck. If I were you, I'd try calling on the allies who helped win the Great War in the first place.
Oh, wait.
You cut off contact with them centuries ago.
I suppose this really is farewell. I glance up at him and quickly school my features to mask my surprise.
they're really going to leave them to die. We are going to leave them to die.
Wrath shines in Melgrin's narrowed eyes. We're done here. Do what you need to say goodbye, he says to my mother before leaving the field, walking toward the trees as Coda moves with him, slinking backward and baring his teeth and warning for anyone foolish enough to attack his rider's back. All the Navarian riders beside Mom follow.
Brennan, Mom whispers again, her shoulders folding inward as she covers her mouth with her hand. Her eyes water, and the pain I see there makes me look away.
Our riders make quick work of mounting, leaving only Zayden, Mira, and me on the field.
Why did you want to see Violet and Mira? Zayden asks, his tone devoid of sympathy.
He's alive? Mom asks Mira, her voice faint in what I think has to be shock.
Obviously, she replies, folding her arms.
Mom's gaze shifts to me, like I'm going to give her a different answer. He's the one who mended me after I took a venom blade in my side. Her eyes sharpen.
You've known for months?
It's appalling to be left in the dark, isn't it, Mom? Mira snaps. To feel lied to, perhaps even betrayed by your own family, no less.
Mira, I chastise.
She sacrificed you too, Violet, Mira reminds me. Maybe she put you into the Rider's Quadrant to save you from being killed as a scribe once you learned the truth. Or maybe she did it to kill you before you could learn the truth and tear her precious war college to the ground. She glances sideways at me.
Which you did, if you remember.
Mom straightens her shoulders and lifts her chin, pulling herself together with astonishing, enviable speed.
I need a word with my daughters, she says to Zayden.
He arches his scarred brow, then looks to me for my decision. I nod. If what Melgrin says is true and she's called to the front lines, this might be the last time I see her.
The thought sickens my stomach.
It's one thing to leave her, to cut any and all contact, and quite another to leave her to her death. Zayden backs away without another word, only offering his back once he passes by Taryn's claw.
What do you want? Mira asks.
I'm not sure that matters at the moment.
Mom unbuttons her flight jacket with trembling fingers.
But I want most, what I've always wanted, is for my children to live. Whatever wards you've raised from the instructions in Warwick's journal will fail.
Mira stiffens. Our wards are fine. She lies just as effortlessly as Zayden.
They're not.
Mom delivers a full lecture with a simple look.
Cut open the bodies of the wyvern who died crossing your border yesterday.
My lips part.
Why ever would you think I'd be ignorant of activities on your border, Violet? Ignorant of where my children are?
She shakes her head and dresses me down with a quick, cutting glance that makes me instantly feel like I'm five again, before turning to Mira.
You remember what the car